Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 this morning. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow on the screens this morning. The writer here begins out with this: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I want to preach for a few moments today on this thought: when God is silent. Would you pray with me for just a moment for the word today? Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for what it brings in our life, how it helps us. Lord, we are born again by your word. We thank you for that. Today, Lord, let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Let it come into our heart and find good ground. Lord, let it challenge us and change us. Let it help us today, make us better, that we might be ready to meet you when you come. We ask these things today together in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands and just praise God one more time for his word today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you in the name of the Lord. When God is silent. It's no mystery, if you've read your Bible, you know, and as well as I do, that we serve a speaking God. From the very first chapter of the book in Genesis, we will read 9 different times this phrase, "And God said." And every time he said it, it happened. Let there be light. And there was light. It happened. Whatever he spoke, it came into existence. He has reassured us in his word that his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that it is set out to do. So we know that when God speaks, it means something. I'm thankful we serve a speaking God. Praise God. We now have this book, or we have this app, or we have a podcast or an audio book somehow or another. People are getting God's words into their life in a lot of different ways today. It's not just breaking open a paper Bible, but now, like I say, it's on your phone, your iPad, or listening to it through an app, whatever it might be, and that's great. I'm glad that we can read the words that he spoke to the prophets and the apostles. The scripture says we are built on their foundations. I'm thankful that we can read the word of God. You read all the red letters, all the words of Jesus, all the passages, and that's something today I see more and more. People are hungry for the word of God. Some people are curious for the word of God, and that's fine too, because if you get curious enough, you're going to read your way right into salvation. You're going to read your way right into understanding that there is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You just keep reading and you'll read yourself right into baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Friend, I'm telling you, just keep reading and it'll take you all the way to the truth. I'm thankful for the word. We want to hear from God. Sometimes we say we want to hear from God, but I wonder if it would make our heart stop if he did actually speak. But we want to hear from God. And every time you open this book, you can hear from God. Every time you walk into a sanctuary of a church and hear the preached word of God, you can hear from him. Every time you spend in prayer with him, you can hear from him. And sometimes that could be in your car, or it can be walking down the road, whatever it is. But God can speak to you in an instant, ready or not. What I am afraid of, though, is this. I'm afraid of God's silence. Because his voice is reassuring. His words are comforting. His words are correction. His words are truth. Jesus said in one place, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We trust in the word of God. We're born again by the word of God. We live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. I get nervous in God's silence. David said this in Psalm 28 and 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock, be not silent to me. Because if you are silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. I don't want God's silence. Psalm 83 and 1, Asaph said this, keep not thou silence, O God, and hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. We do serve a speaking God. But he doesn't spend his days just chatting us up. He's not a big conversationalist to where we just talk back and forth like we do to our friends every day. You can talk to him like that. But I'm sure that if I were to take a poll in here, I could ask, has anybody heard that audible voice of God today? Maybe some have, but it would not be the majority, I am sure, because God doesn't need to do that to prove that he's God. I think about Moses, what a great deliverer that he was. And he was spared as a child, raised in Egypt, but after he fled, having no idea that he was going to be that deliverer. For 40 years, Moses was watching flocks on the backside of a desert, and then suddenly, out of the midst of a burning bush, he hears the voice of God. 40 years of silence, 40 years of the sheep, 40 years of the desert, and then God began to speak to Moses. Between the Old and New Testament, there are 400 years of silence. Nothing. No new prophecies, no new visions, no new scriptures. 400 years of silence. Isaiah made this observation about the Lord. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. You know, if you're, as a kid, we learned when we wanted to hide in playing hide and seek, you didn't just find a good hiding spot, but you stayed quiet so nobody could hear you and could find you. So what do we do when God is silent? We feel like, I know I heard from God. I know he gave me direction. He spoke into the situation, but now there's nothing. And then that's where the questions start. Did I really hear from God? Did he really say what I thought he said? Because now he's silent. So let's look at another famous name from the book. He's also listed in Hebrews as one of these heroes of faith. But in Genesis chapter 6, long before it ever became a cute theme for your baby's nursery, we read the story of Noah's Ark. In chapter 6 and verse 13, it actually starts out, and God said. And for those next few verses, God tells Noah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy all life. I'm going to bring a flood upon this world. And I need you to build an ark and build it like this and do it like this. Put a window here, put a door there. Animals are coming. It's going to happen. This is what I want you to do. He gives him all the instruction. And in verse 22, this is what it says that Noah did. He did all according to that God commanded him. And so did he. Now, we miss the fullness of this statement and the impact of it sometimes because in the very next, the first verse of the very next chapter, it says, the Lord said. And so we don't understand the period of time that happened here. But in verse 22, chapter 6, where it says Noah did all that God commanded him, there are about 75 years of labor, 75 years of hard, breaking labor that Noah and his family, they lived and they worked to complete this ark. And there is no recorded word from the Lord to Noah for the next 75 years. So what do we do when God is silent? We do all that God commanded. I want you to understand something today, that God doesn't have to remind you every day what he told you. If he said it once, it's forever settled in heaven. When God makes a promise, come on, the scripture says, for the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. And sometimes God will teach you faith in the silence. Sometimes you're going to suffer in silent sacrifice. I stole that line from a song, so don't think, man, that's pretty clever. I got that line from a song from Brian Adams. Brian Duncan. Yeah, not Brian Adams. He's cutting like a knife. That ain't the same Brian. You know, something's got to happen. But if you listen to contemporary Christian in the 90s, Brian Duncan was it, man. He was it. And so that was a line from one of his songs. Thought it fit good. Should have just left it alone. I would never said Brian Adams, man. But that's how it happens sometimes. Praise God. But Noah, for 75 years, kept cutting the logs, the boards, the length that God said. He kept putting it together the way that God said. Before it was ever an ark, it was God's word. That word builds. That word produces. And when God speaks, he's not just speaking into the air just to hear his own voice. He's not just saying things to fill in space and time, but he's got a reason for everything he says. And when he told Noah, build it like this, build it like that, it wasn't going to just happen because Noah believed him. Noah had to work in the silence. The only sound was the hammer. The only sound was the saw. There was no rumbling of thunder. There was no drop of rain. He had to, the only sounds he heard were the people that mocked him as he built this enormous ship on dry land. As he told them that the flood was coming, it was still God who was silent. Maybe his kids would ask him, Dad, are you sure about what you heard? But he was so sure about the voice of God that he didn't have to have a word every other day. He knew this is what God said, and I'm going to do everything that God said, and I'm watching it come to life before my eyes. There was no rain yet, but yet's the key word. There was no thunder yet, but yet's the key word. There was no flood bursting up from the ground yet, but yet's the key word. But as Noah continued to work in God's word every day, another board went in place. Another part of the ark was finished. They began to pitch it within and without. The door was made. The door was laid open. And suddenly over the horizon, here come the animals that God spoke about. Let me tell you, your animals are just over the horizon. That promise, that word, it's just over the horizon. It's out of view right now. But what do you do when God is silent? Just keep working. Just keep laboring. Just keep doing everything that God told you to do. Because he didn't tell you that just to make you feel good for the moment. He said, I got a plan for you, Noah. He wanted Noah to work. And what did God do? He did exactly what he said he would do. Can you imagine when all of a sudden chapter 7, what we read is chapter 7 starts, and the Lord said, Noah, it's time to get in the ark. Finally, one day we're going to hear, it's time to go. It's time to enter in. Well done, good and faithful servant. We learn a lot from this story of faith. I said it earlier, God's not chatty. But God will speak when there's a need. And he knew, Noah serves me. Noah fears me. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he went to Noah and said, this is how it's going to be. This is what's going to happen. And the writer in Hebrews said that Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark saved his family, did the things that God told him to do. And that's what God will do with us. God will speak to warn us. God will speak to instruct us, just like he did with Noah, and he moved Noah into the ark. That's what God will do with us. When I read all the sides of Noah's story, I remember what Jesus said, that in the last days it would be like it was in the days of Noah. It might be in this day, that in this last day, that we don't hear that audible voice as much, but it's in this book every time I open it. God gave us his instructions and it was printed up, and in this 66 books of this Bible, God tells us everything that we need to know to be ready for that last day. So what I need to do, I need to put my hand to the plow and not look back. I need to be the light of the world that God said I could be. I need to be the salt of the earth that God said I can be. I need to live as a new creature in Christ because he changed me. When God is silent, then we do all that God has commanded. God hasn't changed his mind. Now it's just time to obey. Some people just want you to keep telling them the same thing over and over again, and then they never do. But they want to hear you say it. What did you tell me to do? What did you tell me to do? You got kids like that? What did you tell me to do? I shouldn't have to say it. You ever said that to your kid? I should only have to say this once. I wonder if God looks down and said, I should really only have to say this once because I'm the Lord. When he's silent, we do. Paul would say this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. When you're not hearing an answer in your prayer closet, that doesn't mean God's not listening. It doesn't mean that God's not present. It doesn't mean, because the scripture tells me plainly, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. I know that God is listening. If I believe the word that it's true, then whether I hear him speak back or not, whether I feel that nudge in my spirit or not, he didn't ever tell me that I would live by feeling, but that I would live by faith. And sometimes I've just got to have faith that the word of God means exactly what he said. Even if it was written over 2,000 years ago, it still carries the same weight today in my life. So don't get weary in well-doing. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praising. Don't stop praying. Don't stop going to church. Don't stop outreach. Don't stop Bible studies. Come on, don't stop preaching the word. Don't stop believing that God's real just because you're in a season of dry bones and in a valley where it seems like nothing's going your way. God is still watching. God is still listening. And just because you can't hear him right now doesn't mean he's not there. I'm sure Noah wondered when he hit his thumb with that hammer, is it really worth it? When his son dropped that log on his foot, is this worth it? Did I really hear God say build it this big? I mean, I've only got eight. There's only eight of us. How many animals can there be? You know, there were things and animals and creatures that Noah had never seen that showed up. There's going to be things you've never dreamed about show up. You know why? Because in the silence you kept hammering. In the silence you kept sawing. In the silence you just kept building. Because I know what I heard. Let me tell you, when you hear from God, it'll touch you in a place and you'll never forget it. It'll move on the inside of you, and no matter what comes this way, you won't be shaken. You'll trust God. The Bible says they that trust God will be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abides forever. When God gets in you, when he speaks into your life and you begin to trust him, it can storm, it can be famine and flood, it can be whatever, but you ain't going nowhere. I heard from the Lord. Did you, Noah? there's always going to be a voice trying to get you off of what God said. Happened in the very beginning. Hath God said? Did you really hear God say that? Did you really hear him say, don't eat this fruit? Did you really hear him tell you you could not touch this fruit? Is that what God said? Ain't nothing going to get me off of what God told me to do. I'm not going to let a lying voice stop me. I'm not going to let my own emotions stop me. I'm not going to let my flesh talk me out of what God said I can have. Friend, Noah was warned, and it said he moved with fear. I'm sure part of that fear was afraid of getting caught when the rain started, but most of that fear simply meant he moved in reverence to God and the word that he spoke. It was so powerful, it shook Noah and changed him in a way. It made him a boat builder. I don't know that Noah ever built anything in his life. I don't know what his occupation was, but I can guarantee you he wasn't an ark maker. God's getting ready to do something new in your life. But what you got to do is be faithful to the word that you've already received. Believe that God spoke that word into your life and just keep on, as they used to say, just keep on keeping on. Are you yet holding on? That's what they used to say. I'm yet holding on. His word can put you on the path of your destiny. The reason we read about Noah and his life is because he had faith in the word of God. And I've said this before. You know, they stopped writing this book. But if they were still writing Hebrews chapter 11, you and I know people today by name that would be in Hebrews chapter 11. Why? Because simply they had faith in God. The only reason you and I don't have our name in that chapter today is because they stopped writing it. But there is a great cloud of witnesses that is growing every day, filled with people that have believed, filled with people that when God was silent, they stayed faithful to the cause and faithful to the cross and faithful to the walk. This life with God is a life of faith. Faith in him, faith in who he is, faith in his word. We have to believe. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've got to seek. I don't have to seek if I know right where he's at, but I got to seek his ways, seek his words, seek that path. The Bible says the just shall live by faith, and that we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Paul said it very simply, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Noah could have said, God, I don't see no dark clouds. I don't see any way possible for a flood to come up here, but he couldn't see the fountains of the deep. Ooh, that's a message. Up under the place where we're walking and laboring by faith, there are fountains waiting to erupt. God's word is holding them right now. But when it's time, that water, that flow of the Spirit, deep, searches deep. Friend, I'm telling you, it speaks to the deep. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. And sometimes as we're laboring right here on dry land, God's getting ready to bring a flood of his miraculous power and his glory into our life. But let me tell you, Noah would have perished with the rest of the world if he had not simply done, worked, labor in the silence. God has ordered our steps. The scripture says he orders our steps in his word. God doesn't mess up our order. He doesn't mess the order up. Job would simply say this, Lord, I have esteemed the words of your mouth more than the food I eat every day. But that does not mean that God was talking to Job every day, because we read Job's story and we know that he was not until he spoke out of the whirlwind. What do we do when God's silent? We stay faithful. God is faithful. God is true. We trusted Him. We trusted Him enough to take the first step. Can't we keep trusting Him as we walk on? We trusted Him enough with, Lord, I believe You died for my sins and that You rose from the dead and that You are the Son of God. Can't we believe that if He would save us, that He will do what He said He would do in our life? In Matthew 25, the Lord spoke a parable. In verse 14, He said, for the kingdom of heaven, this concerns born-again people. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, and he called his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1. He gave to every man according to his several ability, and then straightway he took his journey. He left. There's no cell phone. There's no texting. There's no satellite. There's no phone at all. There's no telegraph. There's no mail service. He's not sending word back to them every day. He took his journey. And then we see what 3 people decided to do with what was given while the master was silent. He that received 5 went and traded with the same and made 5 talents. Other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2 gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. They all 3 did something during the silence. And it says in verse 19, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and he reckoned with them. The Lord's coming back one day. God's coming back. He came, he left, and he's coming back. He told his disciples, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm coming back. I'm going away to prepare a place. And so in all this silence, 2 got busy with what had been given, and 1 just decided to bury it and just sit down on it. God has given us instruction. God has given us commandments, and God has given his promises, and he is going to come back. 2 servants were blessed of their Lord and were told, well done. But 1 was told, depart, cast him out, get him out of here. I don't want to find myself in that place. I want to remember what Paul said. I read it just a moment ago in Galatians. He said, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Due season. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Your season's coming. It's going to happen. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he come, shall find so doing. What will God find you and I doing? What will he find us doing when he finally returns? What did we do during the silence? Did we keep praising? Did we keep praying? Did we keep preaching? Did we keep reaching? Did we keep working? Did we keep carrying the cross and following him daily? I don't have to hear him to follow him. I've got it right here in this book. And even though I don't hear him, I know that he hears me. One writer said that I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. His silence is not an absence of his presence or his power or his authority. He's still on the throne and he's still the king. So here are some things to remember. God is always near. The scripture declares it and gives us this promise. Draw nigh, James 4 and 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I can tell when somebody's close to me. You can feel it. You got somebody in your life that you love so good that you just know that they're close to you, even if they're across the room, even if they're across the country, there's something between you that you are close. Well, good thing about God is he's everywhere. He might be walking with us sometimes and we can't even perceive it. Two men on the road to Emmaus didn't even realize that was him. Even Job said, I've looked everywhere that I know to look, but I cannot perceive him. He said, but this thing I do know, he knows the way that I take. He might be quiet, but he still sees me. He might not be saying anything right now, but he knows the way that I take. Paul said in Acts 17 that God is not far from every one of us. In Hebrews 13 and 5, it said, the Lord recorded this statement, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Jesus said plainly, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do you believe the statements that he made when it's dark? I told someone just the other day, a couple of people actually, I said, you know, when you're in the midst of trouble, trouble is all you can see. If you're in the midst of something, it doesn't matter which way you look, it's there. The Hebrew boys were in the midst of the fiery furnace. Fire was all around them. And the Israel went through the midst of the Red Sea water on both sides. But in all these places, God is working and God is moving and God is doing. And I'm thankful that I can trust him enough and take him at his word. Yes, I like when God speaks. Yes, I love that nudge in the spirit, that unction that comes from God, and I just know that's what God is wanting me to do. I love those things. But in those times when I can't feel him, in those times when I can't perceive him, he's still my Savior. He's still my King. And I made a promise to him that I would take the cross up daily and follow him. He never said that it would be always be easy. But let me tell you, it ain't ever impossible with God. When you've got God, you can do it. You could labor 75 years and build an ark if you had to, because God spoke it. And you will make it out of what you're going through. It might be a new journey. It might be an illness. It might be a job loss. It might be some kind of transition going on happening in your life. But you will make it, because God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As long as I keep walking out, I'm walking in light. I'm walking out of depression. I'm walking out of addictions. I'm walking out of worldliness and ungodliness and unrighteousness. And I'm steadily walking in the light of the Lord. That's why his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, he doesn't have to speak out loud. He just waved the light. Just waves the light. Silence sometimes is just a matter of perspective. I believe it was Brother Arnold preaching one time, and he said, as long as I have his book, I have his voice. 66 books of his voice. All God breathed. All God inspired. And Noah had something better than moral support. He had something better than an organization. He had something better than a small group. Of course, he was the original small group. But he had something better than fanfare or reputation. He had something than the biggest church on the block. He had God's word. He had God's promise. And friend, that trumps everything. That makes everything all right. That makes everything possible. He had God's word. And so while God was silent, Noah worked. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. When you start trying to decipher the silence with your carnality and your carnal mind, you'll start hearing things like this. God didn't really speak to you. God didn't really love you. God doesn't have a purpose for you. You've never been part of it. But when you trust in the Lord, no, I heard what he said. I heard what he said. Let me tell you, what I felt with everything in my being that God wanted me in the ministry, but I had not heard God say it. I felt it. I wanted it. I desired it. And I prayed and cried and wept and fasted. And I just thought, I'll never hear from the Lord on this, and I'm going to lose my mind. And we were getting ready for camp meeting and at Brother Eberhard's church. And, I was getting ready. And while I was getting ready, I was sobbing because I thought I was going crazy. And I said, Lord, if you don't tell me something, if I don't hear something, I'm going to lose my mind. I've got to hear from you. And that night in service, God began to move powerful. Friend, I'm talking, we didn't care how long we was in church in them days. Camp meeting service started at 7 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, altar service is just getting rolling. And Brother Armstrong was there, and he was praying for people, and God was using them in gifts and healings and words of knowledge going forth. It was just amazing to watch and to see. And I was kept trying to step in his way so he would say something to me. And he would never stop and say anything to me. And friend, it was, let me tell you, I was miserable. I was desperate. And finally, I just thought, well, God, I love you, and I'm going to keep serving, but my heart's broke right now because I need to hear something. And he was walking. I was just standing there, and he was walking past, and as he got right near it, he just stopped. He never even looked at me. He just reached over and grabbed my hand and said, son, lift your hands up. And I wrote down, I've got it off of the tape that we had. I wrote down everything he said. And friend, when he got through, the power of God fell on me, and I just fell to the floor. But every single word that man spoke that night came to pass. Everything he said that from that point, that was the beginning. But friend, I never worried about it one more time. I never had to look back and say, "Did I know what I heard?" And it happened just like God said it would happen. God knew. He spoke when I needed it. God will speak when you need it. I was driving down the road, worshiping God, going down I-20 about 6:30 one morning. Music so loud. I just grew up listening to loud music. I don't know what to tell you. It don't matter what it is. I wanted it turned up loud. And I was worshiping God and listening to Charles Johnson and the Revivers, talking about the Holy Ghost. Man, I was just worshiping God and having a good time. And all of a sudden, just right here, like somebody leaned in my ear and whispered, just the most beautiful, calm voice said, close your eyes. And I shut my eyes. And as soon as I did, I heard a pop, and I felt something hit me in the face. And I opened my eyes, and there was glass all over the dash, glass on me, glass in my lap. I never jerked the wheel. I never started. I just pulled off the next exit, got off, got out, looked, and I was like, that was the Lord. I don't hear that voice all the time, but when there was a need, he spoke. And because I listened, friend, it saved my eyesight. I don't know if I don't know what hit the truck. I have no idea, but I could have had my eyes open, cut my eyes. I could have got hit in the face. Just anything could have happened, but nothing did because the voice spoke when it needed to. But what do I do in the meantime? There's times I've tripped and failed. I'm like, God, how come you didn't say, look out for that step? Or look out for your own foot. Sometimes you just need to fall so you can learn how to get back up. But the Bible says, though a good man fall, sometimes it happens to the best of us. But as long as I've got this book, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. One writer said, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be a partaker This book speaks to every one of us. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I'm telling you something here, folks. This book lets me know that it doesn't matter. He said, you, I don't care where you are, if you hear me, you can be a partaker of the divine nature. The promises in here will change your life. It says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, he says, this word is powerful enough to bring you out. People all the time say, I'm trying to get out. I'm trying to escape. I'm trying to get free of this. This word will do it. This word will do it. If we'll take this word and apply it, it will do it. Let me finish music if you want to come this morning. One last thing to remember, silence is temporary. Silence is seasonal, and silence is purposeful. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 7 says, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. We don't have to be afraid of the quiet time. One writer said, in his law do I meditate day and night. You know, meditation, that don't involve a lot of speaking. You're just soaking it in. Into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit, into your soul. You're just soaking in. You're contemplating what God has spoke, what he has said. And it's just becoming ingrained. It's becoming like you're the ground that you're rooted in. That same psalm says you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And your leaf won't fade. And you're going to bring forth your fruit and your seed. It's going to happen. You'll always be producing when you're rooted and grounded in that word. And you don't have to hear that audible voice. You've got pages of his voice right here. Pages of that word that will help you through every situation. I pray that in this revival that's happening across the land, that there will be a revival for the love of the word of God. And that people will not just cherry pick a few scriptures, but will begin to line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, get every bit of it. God loves us with an everlasting love. You can stand with me this morning. He loves us with an everlasting love. He is a good father to us. You know, he's our heavenly father. And I was thinking that if you had a child who was deaf, but they could not hear your voice, they could still feel your love and know that you love them by every smile, by every hug, by everything that you, the things that you do for them. Every day I wake up, the scripture says his mercy is new every morning. When I wake up, I find mercy to do it again, to get it right, to do better, because his mercy is new every morning. I remember that nothing can separate me from that love that he has for me. And when I think, well, I'm not doing so good and I'm awful, I just think back to when he found me. I wasn't doing good and I was awful then. And he still loved me. And he still blessed me. And he still called me. You know, a deaf child can still see their father work. And finally, let's remember this familiar promise of Scripture, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. God begun a work in Moses in Genesis 6. But then he didn't speak to him for about 75 more years. But Noah was confident that God would perform it. And for us, the promise is the same. If it's going to be like that, if it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, in these last days, then I just have to believe that maybe there's going to be a lot of people God's going to speak into your life telling you he's going to call you to a work, but he's not going to micromanage you. Just do what I asked you to do. Just start doing what I asked you to do. Stop making excuses why it ain't getting done. Just start doing what I asked you to do, because I'm coming again. Completing the work that God has called you to. And I can amen this as a pastor, and if you have a pastor, you ask them when you see them again and they would confirm it. Sometimes completing the work that you do as a pastor may include some days of silence. But I never lack his word.
Right.
It might be quiet, but I don't lack his promise. Because this book is full of promises that are yea and amen. And every time I read, and every time I pray, and every time I step into a church and hear that preached word of God, I have an opportunity to hear from him. I want you to know today that God is not absent just because he's quiet. And you didn't miss it just because God's quiet. It's just not time yet. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. And when it's time, God's going to wake you up with that word. When it's time, God's going to speak, and that door is going to open, or that door is going to close. And you'll realize that all this time, God was getting me ready. All this time, all this not getting weary and well doing, now it's time for me to reap. My season has finally come. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.